It's next time. It's been a while. Hi. This will go out tomorrow, so this is, present day L, kind of. Hi. It's relaxing time. I've just had, like, a swim, because I've been doing that a lot, because we moved, and we have a pool now, and it's awesome, and I love swimming and water. And now I'm in my pajamas, and it's, like, it's 5:50 in the afternoon. We're bare chilling right now. I was just watching old Tubathon VODs from, like, a few days ago. Yeah, we're bare chilling. I was scrolling Pinterest yesterday and just appreciating it. Because everyone, like, all these, like, poetry and life appreciation writing and, like, stuff like that. Positivity posts re-uploaded from Tumblr onto Pinterest that I've, like, collected. It was really nice. Because, like, my mental health's been pretty good at the moment since it's the holidays, and I have not been under the pressure of school, which is amazing. And I got, like, diagnosed with autism and ADHD, so that really helped with understanding myself. So now I'm just kind of comfortable, I guess. So yeah, we're gonna chill. We're gonna read some Pinterest Tumblr things. Okay, first one. Listen, aging into your 30s rocks. Yes, your joints get a little creaky. Yes, you can't sleep in a pretzel on the floor anymore after a concert or a convention, and you lose some friends. But the thing is that you sort out who your real friends are, and you sort out who you really are. You get to see your friends settling into careers they like, and adopt new dogs and cats, and you find a job you can stand, and get really good at arts and crafts, and maybe that book you loved as a kid gets a movie deal and it doesn't suck. And you learn to like new food and bake your own bread, and you realise that the great portfolio of self-harm scars you all used to curate are going white with age and not updated, and half your friends are a different gender now, and so much happier, and maybe you are too. And you know who you are, and that it's a journey and not a revelation. It's a direction you're headed, and you're enjoying the trip. Reaching your 30s rocks, and I'm hearing good things about what comes next, too. And then someone replied to this with hashtag, do you promise op, which means original poster, hashtag please. And then the op replied to that with, I'm looking into your eyes, I'm holding your hand, I absolutely promise. If you can just live long enough, your soul will build your body into a home. You will live there and you will find a way to be at peace. It's worth the time and it's worth the work. I promise. I think I'm just afraid that if I dig deep, then there'll be nothing remarkable about me. Or if there is, I won't know what to do with it. Silly fears. I wish I knew what to do with my hands. Sleeping is so easy. And then the same. And then Op replied to their own post with, I don't like this anymore. Unremarkableness. Barely even a word. Who cares? I wasn't born to be remarkable, and neither were you. None of us were. We weren't born for anything. It just happened. In the grand scheme, nobody and nothing will ever be remarkable. We will live and die and be forgotten. But who cares about the grand scheme? You're not the universe, the cosmos. You won't be here to witness your non-consequence to the everything. To you, you are all of it. You were given a gift, subjectivity. With that gift, you can feel love and hate and fear and hope. You can build something the cosmos can't, a perspective. You will experience, you will fall in love, you will fail and learn, and at the end of it, you will have been a whole person with a whole life that no one else will have ever been able to have. None of that has anything to do with being remarkable. It has everything to do with allowing yourself to live, to try, to act. Trying is terrifying, and it is worth everything. Yesterday, my dad told me something that I think maybe more people need to hear. You're allowed to just do things for fun. He told me that in this modern society, especially in the United States, imagine living there, must suck. We seem to have this attitude that we shouldn't do something unless we're aiming to be the best at it. If you can't sing like Beyonce or Frank Sinatra or something, there's no point to singing. If you can't make the next big breakthrough, there's no point in looking into mechanics or engineering. But, he tells me, it took him a long time to figure out that life doesn't have to be a race. If you want to take up the piano when you're a teenager or later, you're not going to master it. You're not going to be able to play to huge concert halls, but that also shouldn't stop you. You can study a language out of curiosity and then drop the ball if you want. You can just get okay at something or even be terrible at it. You can drop it for days or years and then pick it up again, and it doesn't have to be a shameful thing. I'm really glad he told me that, because today I opened my sketch pad for the first time in months and just started drawing. And it looks terrible. But I don't care. I don't have the talent or patience or spatial awareness to get anywhere near good at drawing. But it's fun. It helps me focus my mind, and nobody has to see it. And because of what he told me, I'm thinking maybe someday soon I will take up the bass guitar. And I won't worry about how well I do, or how fast I learn, or that I haven't played an instrument since sixth grade, or that I don't have much time to practice. I'm just going to enjoy the experience. Maybe I'll try swing dancing again and take a class, because I'm not the best dancer, but damn if it isn't fun. Yeah, you don't have to be good at things. It's not a requirement. Maybe that seems obvious, but it never occurred to me before. You're allowed to just enjoy what you're doing. For me, that feels like a life-changing revelation. I don't have to be good at something to like it. I don't have to put 100% effort into everything I do. It's kind of amazing. Do not delude yourself into thinking you are a kind person. No such thing exists. You are simply someone who has done kind things in the past and who will do kind things in the future. Kindness is something you must practice and put effort into as long as you are alive. It's not a state of being, but rather many decisions you make and actions you take throughout your life. To cherish your supposed kindness overmuch is to hurt yourself in the long run, and to hurt others too. Labeling yourself a kind person will either blind you to the harm you've brought and will someday bring to those around you, or land you in a situation where you hurt someone, intentionally or not, and immediately fall to pieces as your identity as a kind person is shattered. Kindness is not something you are, it is a practice. You will fail at it sometimes and people will not always forgive you for it. Regardless, you must try your hardest to make kind decisions and perform kind actions as much as you can. This is all any of us can do. It is now 6:13 and dark because it's autumn now. Yeah, I got distracted. Anyway, let's keep going. There was a big storm and a ton of starfish washed onto the beach, stranded much further up than they could get back and beginning to bake in the post-storm sunshine. A little girl was walking down the beach, picking up starfish and throwing them back into the sea. Some guy comes up and asks her what she's doing. "Saving the starfish," she says. He looks around at the huge beach and the hundreds of starfish and says, "You can't possibly save them all. I'm afraid you're not going to make much of a difference." She throws another starfish back in the ocean and replies, "It made a difference to that one." Also, I think I do sound more British when I read like that, because I think I'm trying to sound a bit more formal, which is annoying, because normally, like, now at this point when I'm British, I'm not all fancy, you know, London posh, southerners. I'm all, "Hey, bruv, you right, mate?" That kind of, "We're bare chilling right now." I'm trying to get out of it because I've, as you can tell, I've been watching too much Average Harry, who's from Croydon, and I told my friend that, who's a Jack, who was in the last episode, and they were like, "No, not oh my gosh, out of everyone, is someone from Croydon?" Do people not know the 5-minute rule? If there's something wrong with someone's appearance and it can't be fixed in 5 minutes, don't tell them. Don't be an a-hole. Yeah. Food in someone's teeth? Sure. Let them know. Wrinkled shirt, smudged makeup, messy hair? Yes. Talk to the person if you want. Tattoos, tattoo placement, crooked nose, obnoxious laugh. Shut the hell up. Don't make someone self-conscious about something they can't fix. Also, if they've only been on the ground for 5 minutes, it's still safe to eat them. Okay, I'm doing my best to try to not sound British. Natural talking. Immediately starts hyperventilating. I get sick of Tumblr's version of self-care, which 90% of the time threads into this beautifully. Go pet a fuzzy cute animal, pile up your favourite blankets from childhood and watch Disney movies, take a nap, play a game from this list of cute soothing games. More realistically, go take a shower because it's been 3 days. Wash the dishes that have been in the sink since last Friday that you can smell as soon as you open the door because rotting food stinks. Pick up all your clothes off the floor because that's where your entire wardrobe is and you've already cried today because you tripped over a sweater and realised the cat puked on it. Call someone who can give you enough courage to pay the bill you've been ignoring. Put away the crackers because that's all you've eaten for 2 days straight. Apologise to the friends who are worried sick about you, and if you can't, at least let them know you're okay and need space. One of the most empowering types of self-care is responsibility, but Tumblr just wants to sit in a closet strung with fairy lights and read their favourite fic. Cute self-care for cute mental issues. That's not reality. A note on labels. As I'm sure any cat owner will be able to tell you, someone putting you in a box is entirely different from getting into a box yourself. This is the most brilliant, concise, cute, and disarming response to the "but labels are bad" argument that gets used against people trying to self-identify as something as a way of making sure their boundaries are understood and respected. I don't get those posts that go like, part of me wants to be a hot girl at the bar and the other part of me wants to read and sip tea in a bookstore. Like, you can wear red lipstick and a leather jacket and sip tea and dance in the rain and go to the gym and curl up in bed and get turned the hell up and go to church. You can literally have it all, sis. The world is yours. This is the most inspiring thing I've ever read. I personally want to see "you are not a burden" / "it's not work" to love you, and more "you are worth the work it takes to love you." I know I'm a burden sometimes. That isn't such a terrible thing. Humans are strong. We can carry burdens. And it is work for me to be there for my friends, but it's work I'm willing to do. We need to acknowledge this because pretending love isn't work will never make people like me feel less guilty for accepting love. We need to talk about it so people don't feel bad for having boundaries and not always being up to do the work. We need to accept it so we can properly appreciate what others do for us and what we're doing for them. Yes, it does take work to love you, but guess what? You still deserve love, and you deserve people who are willing to do the work to love you. It doesn't make you bad. All love takes work, and everyone is worth it. I used to hate using love liberally. It felt like it was a sacred word, only to be used in very special occasions. Now that I'm older, I've come to the realization that love should be shared and felt and received with reckless abandon. Love these characters, love this food, love things in the moment, even if they may seem tiny and insignificant to others. I think it makes life a little more soft around the edges. And then someone replied to that with, "love is not a finite resource." Listen, do it for the aesthetic. If you want to fill an entire $20 sketchbook with anatomy drawings, flipping do it. If you want to get lost in the woods and come stumbling home with a bag of dried mushrooms and bones, you go, goblin dude. You aren't alive to go to work and hurt. You're alive because bumblebees bump into little flowers and dandelions only open up in the sun. You're alive because cats purr when you pet them and coffee keeps you up all night. Do everything for the aesthetic. True facts. I had a friend tell me that they really admired me for going, "hey, I love you guys, but I need to go sit in a room by myself and read for an hour." So yes, don't be afraid of setting your boundaries. And for people like me, who are very, very, very bad with things like unspoken clues to the fact that someone wants me to not do something or whatever, it is such a... hashtag autism. It is such a relief not to have to be constantly worried that I'll do something that will make them not want to hang out with me anymore.
I've lost friends because they never tried to enforce their boundaries, and as a result, I had no idea I was trampling right over them until they got to the point where they couldn't handle it anymore. And it is an awful, crappy feeling knowing you've done that to someone. Please, please, please enforce your boundaries with me. I promise I will love you for it. This is so, so, so important, people. I'm both bad at enforcing my boundaries and constantly scared of stomping over other people's. It makes me feel safer if I know you can say no to me. I don't know why it never occurred to me that others would feel safer if they know I could say no as well. Identity is a prison. Let yourself respond authentically to every moment as it arrives, without being bound to the narrative of who you think you are. The self is a construct. The truth of your existence is ever-changing and infinite, as the universe is ever-changing and infinite. Abandon the stories of your past selves and be present and alive in this very moment. Identity is dead. Self is dead. You are alive. And then Op replied to that post with, "Update, I just shaved my eyebrows off." I just like this post, so. Everyone, writing fanfiction is a great way to explore your various sexual fantasies. Me, through clenched teeth. What if they lived in a tiny house and took naps all the time? I truly had no idea this would pick up so much traction, but I'm glad to know we're all in the same boat of living out unrealistic fantasy scenarios, re-intimacy and home ownership. Me, sobbing. And they had a game night with friends, and everyone took turns hosting, and everyone was okay. Which is so mean. I read too much fanfic and it's so good. Because all my characters are sad and the more fanfic makes them all even more sad. But then it's actually okay in the end. Pretty crappy how baseline human activities like singing, dancing and making art got turned into skills instead of being seen as behaviours. So now it's like, the point of doing them is to get good at them, and not, this is a thing humans do, the way birds sing and bees make hives. I know I've posted about this before, but it bears repeating. This is a thing humans do. You don't have to be good at it to enjoy it. I'm adding writing specifically because humans have been telling stories since we invented language, and our love of it should not be taken away from us by the invention of money. I know so many of us have been trained since a young age to be so accommodating as to fear ever expressing an opinion, but as we get older, we need to understand that being accommodating to the point of total indecisiveness is a very uncomfortable way to go through life, for you and those around you. It's okay to have an opinion on something. It's okay to make a decision. Your friends won't hate you if you're the one to end the... Ah, sorry, my sister came in. Okay, anyway. To end the, where do you want to eat? Oh, anywhere is fine with me, discussion by suggesting a restaurant. You're not high maintenance if you say, noon is more convenient for me, when someone asks you what time you want to hang out. Make decisions, have opinions, be part of the planning process, understand that you're not being inconvenient, you're just contributing. I love comforting nihilism. Who cares? We're all gonna die. Eat that cake, buy that eyeshadow, be nice to people. You don't owe the world crap. The stars don't care about what we do. Give anyway, because why spend your 80 years on this rock miserable and making other people miserable? The sun is gonna blow up and we're all gonna die someday. Make the most of what time you have. Use the fine china for taco night and microwave lunch. Smell the flowers. Tell a stranger they're beautiful. Do not let adults steal this generation from you. Relish in selfies. Snapchat pictures of coffee to your friends. Huddle around an iPhone to watch Vines. That's dated. Tumblr things, I guess. Most people in my class last year didn't even know what it was. I feel so young. Capital D colon. Shamelessly love this generation's commodities, like how your parents love their commodities, like disco or hammer pans or whatever else. Do not let angry adults take away your chance to experience the uniqueness of right now. Except if you're on YouTube Shorts, get off it. It sucks. It has no algorithm. and my sister's addicted to it, and it's terrible. Like, because, yeah, I think I talked about this in the Gen Alpha Influencers episode, but YouTube Shorts is just worse than TikTok and stuff, but, like, adults let their kids on it when they wouldn't let them on TikTok. Just don't, generally. My little cousin watches YouTube Shorts, and she's like seven, and it's actually such brain rot. It's terrible. I'm so lucky that I never ended up on that side of the internet. I've never scrolled on YouTube Shorts once in my life. Anyway, I'm in love with the raw, natural, organic, and real human state. The bed head, the yawns, the stretches that pull up your shirt, the way wind blows your hair, the laughing so hard you tear up, the sleepy eyes, the butterflies in your stomach moments, a smile that turns into a laugh that turns into a cry, the bumping shoulders with the people next to you walking, the handholds when you blush and when you stumble over a sentence because you can't stop laughing at what you're about to say. The true moments that hold no mask over us, that is purely us. No embarrassment, no shyness. Only pure and raw and underappreciated moments like this that I fall in love with humanity. This is, like, less of a lighthearted, appreciating humanity thing, and more of just a, yes, say it louder for the people in the back, come on. All public school anti-bullying activism is extremely transparent and meaningless. Faculty, bullying is bad. Zero intolerance policy. This is a hate-free zone. Me, hey, this person called me a stupid D-slur word that I can't say today. Faculty, that's unfortunate. Have you tried perhaps not being gay? Yeah, that's so true, though, because we have, like, a anti-bullying... We had, at my primary school, we had, like, an anti-bullying day, like a bullying no way thing, and like it still happened a lot. My sister's best friend, her siblings don't go to that school, her younger siblings, they don't go to that school because she had such a terrible time there because she was bullied. Yeah, I feel like everyone is against bullying until they actually look at the kids who are being bullied. The cheesy anti-bullying tapes that they show in schools feature these skinny, straight, white, neurotypical kids who get picked on for no reason. Usually the insults are something along the lines of, "You're a loser," or "Get lost, freak." All the kids watching immediately feel bad for the victim and think, "Aw, she didn't deserve that." Then, 10 minutes later, they go pick on some marginalized kid without thinking twice. As an autistic person, I was often this kid. The insults I heard growing up were not, "You're a loser," or "Get lost, freak." They were, "Don't let the arsler work with us," or "Shouldn't she be going to the special school?" The problem is we teach kids that bullying occurs for no other reason other than just to be mean. This could not be further from the truth. Bullying occurs because, as a society, we condition kids into hating fat, black, neurodivergent, queer, and disabled people. Kids don't bully each other just to be mean. They do it because if something's in quotation marks wrong with the person, it's completely justified. But of course, we can't tell kids this kind of stuff. We can't say, "Hey, making fun of your gay classmate is bad." Because when we do, suddenly the phone calls come pouring in, each with a parent on the other end screaming, "You can't be feeding my son that liberal propaganda," which is not happen in Australia. Guess what? I was watching it last night, and I was like, damn, American media sucks. Could you just have, like, CNN and Fox News and Sky News? And we have The Project. It's like a normal news thing, except it's not. Like, they swear on it, they, like, tell a bunch of jokes, and, it's they do the news, but also they have, like, a live audience that laughed and clapped, and they tell jokes and swear and talk about sex, and it's very left run, as is, like, all Australian media, basically. Otherwise, it would be taken down. Because you cannot do that in Australia. If you're homophobic on the TV, that's not allowed. So, yeah, on the project, they just have, you know, they just talk about gay people and are very ally and have gay people on it. And with the whole Palestine thing, that, like, they had a whole talk about that. And they're all, like, very pro-Palestine. So, yeah. Which is not happening currently in American media, which sucks for you guys. Stop having kids in America? It sucks. Get the hell over here. Anyway, learning to let go and learning to relax means just freaking sticking those stickers on something. Stop worrying if it's the right place. Burn that nice candle you've had for a year. It doesn't need a special occasion. I'm gonna use those fancy soaps I've been collecting to draw, even though they look so pretty and it means I'll use them up. Everything is temporary, so just enjoy the littlest pleasures you can possibly have. We all need to just let go and enjoy things while they last. The sticker's gonna look fine on your water bottle, I promise. Some feelings. Dot point. Entering a warm room after being out in the cold. The boom in your heart when you hear a firework explode. Having someone brush your hair. Except when they're rough with it. I don't actually like when people brush my hair. Apart from that one time the deputy principal did it, because she was really gentle. That's a long story. Anyway. The buzz of your fingers. Fingers. Opening a package you had been waiting for. Writing with a new pen. In your stomach when you see the sun outside your window and realize you've stayed up all night. I've never done that before. I don't think I've ever pulled an all-nighter, which is really sad, but also not, because I guess it's good for me, and I think my therapist would be proud of me for that, because she keeps telling me to not stay up so late. Like, most people don't like to admit this, but one of the reasons a lot of us have so many mental health issues is because we live in a world that has basically become untenable. I don't really know what that means. Anyway, people can't afford basic necessities, let alone to cultivate their interests or take breaks and rest, or do any of the things necessary for good mental health. People my age are racked with debt, working at jobs they hate or studying topics they hate, living in a crappy apartment with 5 roommates. We live in a world that's very hard to be healthy in. So while, yeah, a lot of people obviously do have mental illnesses that would need medication no matter what, they are greatly exacerbated by these issues, and a lot of people have basically just been thrust into an eternal situational depression. Yeah. I understand that my friends don't want to talk every day. I understand that my soulmate doesn't want to be lovey-dovey. Not soulmate, sorry, I keep reading it as soulmate in my head. Significant other doesn't want to be lovey-dovey and super indulgent every day. Lots of people need rest from performative emotions. All people need rest in general. It's okay, doesn't mean they don't love me. It's not judgment or punishment. They deserve to take their rest, and they deserve for me to treat their needs with respect. The gods did not breathe the breath of life into us and give us gifts of a shape, a will, and a voice, just so we could pay bills and die. Mm-hmm. I love that post. What is that the child has to teach? The child naively believes that everything should be fair and everyone should be honest. The only good should prevail, that everybody should have what they want, and there shouldn't be no pain or sadness. The child believes the world should be perfect and is outraged to discover it is not. And the child is right. Westerners are fond of the saying, life isn't fair.
Then they ended and snide triumphant, so get used to it. What a cruel, sadistic notion to revel in. What a terrible, patriarchal response to a child's budding sense of ethics. An ounce to an Iroquois? I'm sorry, I don't know what that is. Life isn't fair, and her response will be, then make it fair. Hi. There is a family next to me at the store. I just heard the dad say to his kid, well, it's brave to go on a roller coaster, and it's also brave to say you don't want to go on a roller coaster. Wanted to tell you something good. That is good. Sometimes I think people are too complicated. But then I remember that they'll carve out hearts on the bark of a tree or the corner of desks and write their initials on the middle. They get matching tattoos and memorize each other's birthdays and phone numbers and sign each other's cars. And I think maybe people are not complicated. Maybe they just want to be remembered. Actually, I love growing older and learning how I work as a person, like realizing what kinds of fabric feel best on my skin, or what brand of yogurt I like best, or how I want to be touched. Watching myself change, enjoying Brussels sprouts when I used to hate them as a child, understanding why I got angry in that one conversation 10 years ago. There are so many mysteries inside me that I have yet to unravel, and there will always be more, and sometimes I think maybe it's all worth it. Many young Americans think that to know themselves, they need to find themselves, and they hold the naive belief that they could just strip off everyday life like layers of an onion, they would reach their true core, unadulterated by other people's expectations and the distractions of a fast-paced world. They believe that they have a true core and an essence, and that it sits inside of them waiting to be discovered, and that once they find it, they will know wherever they ought to be, a doctor or a lawyer or a philosophy professor. Sometimes these young people go to Europe and work their way through Mediterranean countries picking grapes, confident that their true self will emerge somewhere en route to Italy. But people who believe that their self is like an onion and their true self is its core have not spent much time in the kitchen. Peel an onion down to its core and all you will find is air. You are not an untouched core. You are and will become the sum of your commitments, your choices, moral and intellectual, and practical. They amount to much the same thing in the end. To find yourself, don't dig under the surface of your life. Look at what you actually do, at what you come to care for, at what you fight to defend. Look at the small choices you make every day in the classroom, in the way that you read and interpret and argue. And the big choices will sort themselves out by themselves. I kind of want to rebel against society, but I also kind of want to take a nap. Everything gets so much better after you realize that idleness is strongly discouraged by capitalism, so you can now do both at the same time. This is the most affirming thing I've read in my life. Never let anyone tell you thinking is bad. Critical thinking is essential. Never blindly follow authority. That's how the worst atrocities in the world were committed. You have a right to ask questions, and if someone tries to convince you you don't, that's a serious red flag. If your beliefs are well-founded, then asking questions and getting answers should reaffirm them, not threaten them. If all it takes to topple your belief system is actually sitting down and thinking about what is being said, then maybe those aren't really your beliefs. You need to be able to ask questions. In therapy, my therapist and I were talking about my own feelings of self-worth in relationships. She asked me to say qualities about myself that someone would be attracted to on a romantic and platonic level, so I named some things like passionate, empathetic, etc. And she said, you name things that you can give someone, ways you can serve, rather than ways that you are. And my mind was blown. That's going to stick with me forever. Like, she then proceeded to tell me actual innate qualities about myself that she liked and thought anyone else would like as well. And I hadn't even considered those because, like, she said I was focused on things that I could do outwardly to attract and maintain connections rather than who I was as a person. Goddamn, that's tea. With this in mind, this also makes me think of the way people describe us. When people say the reasons that they love/like you or describe you as a person, are they only naming ways that you serve them?
Are they equating your worth with how much you do for them? Example, you're such a good listener. You're so generous. You're so compassionate. You're always there for me. You always hold me down. You're reliable. Versus, you're so funny. You're very vibrant. You're creative, passionate, and intelligent. You're optimistic. You're so talented at blank, etc. I think that's very telling. Van Gogh quotes I adore. Though I'm often in the depths of misery, there is still calmness, pure harmony, and music inside me. The way to know life is to love many things. That is how I look at it, to continue, that is what is necessary. I confess I do not know why, but looking at the stars always makes me dream. Bookstores remind me that there are still good things in this world. Me. Yeah, so I don't have the energy to get up and make myself a sandwich or wait for something to cook, so I just don't. Huh. Why don't you just eat the sandwich components without putting them together? Me. Huh. You can just eat a handful of cheese and some sandwich meat. You don't have to make a sandwich. Me. What? Becky. What? Therapist finding loopholes. Sorry. Therapist finding loopholes for mental illness things is one of my favorite things about dealing with mental illness, because it really helps me understand that just because a reaction is common doesn't mean it's right. Does doing dishes stress you out a lot? Buy paper plates. Do your obsessive thoughts make you worry about leaving your curling iron on, so you drive home from work to check? Just put the curling iron in your purse and bring it to work with you while we work on tackling where this worry comes from. Symptom management doesn't have to look like drudgery. I used to go days without showering because seeing my body was so upsetting that I would end up spiraling. And then I realized I could simply turn the lights out. It took some getting used to, but I've been showering with the lights off for years, and now it's one of my favorite parts of my day. Do whatever you want. Nothing is real, and there's no need to inflict unnecessary suffering onto yourself just to try to seem normal. The whole self-love thing is good and all, but some people can't fathom being loved. They can't imagine there being anything good about them. So they can't simply just stop doing unhealthy things. There is a process. Before self-love, you need to invoke self-tolerance and self-neutrality. If you can't say, I love my body, then say, my body gets me from place to place. If you can't say, I'm beautiful, begin by shutting down the I'm ugly thoughts and saying, I'm a person. If you can't say, I'm valuable, begin by shutting down the I'm worthless thoughts and say, all people deserve basic respect and I'm a person. If you can't say, I'm important or I'm kind, say, I'm the one who waters my plants every week, or I'm the one who tips the kind barista down the street, or I'm the one who makes sure my dog does not eat plastic, or I'm the one who leaves long comments on people's fan fictions. That's me, I do that, I leave the long comments on people's fan fictions. okay, that's all the ones that I have saved from Pinterest. I'm gonna read the one that I wrote now. Cool. Wait, I'm just gonna find it because it's in my notes app. Oh yeah, okay. I am but a melting pot of what I love, so why not love myself? I laugh like Tommy does in that one clip of him and Techno messing around after the welcome home Theseus moment. I dress like I have seen many a pretty person dress. I repeat what my friends have said, which is only repeated from people that they love. I make my coffees in a combination of the way my mother and father do. I reference my favourite books and shows and movies and YouTube videos. I dance like Bilzo. I put my hands on my hips like the musician Brie does. I pull faces and lip sync like Katie Bugs does. My art style is a combination of all the art styles I have found on the internet and fallen in love with. I find inspiration for my writing in everything I see. I crack jokes like the one I have previously laughed at. I like all these things about myself because they are adapted from things that I like, but I put my own personal spin on things, and again, only adapted the things that I like, that I feel like they represent me. If I was a stranger meeting me, I would like me, and that's enough for me.
Okay, that's all I have. Love you guys. Bye. See you next time.